السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد ان سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. انا انزلناه في ليله القدر وما ادراك ما ليله القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، اس ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، اور سسٹرز لسننگ اوور ریسیورز، لسننگ ایٹ دی مدرسہ، اینڈ آل دوز لسننگ اوور دی ریڈیو سٹیشنز، وی آل نو دیٹ اٹ از دی 27th نائٹ اینڈ وی ہیو گیدرڈ ہیئر ان ایکسپیکٹیشن آف اٹ ٹو بی لیلۃ القدر. دس مچ وی آل نو دیٹ نبی علیہ الصلاۃ والسلام ہمسیلف ڈڈ ناٹ فکس لیلۃ القدر. He once did come out to inform the people when Laylatul Qadr is, but there was a dispute, an argument, a quarrel that was taking place between two brothers, and because of that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that that fixation was taken away. Quarrels, arguments, this is the effect of that. That's the barakat of when Laylatul Qadr is a fixed night, as we know that Eid when it is, that after the moon is sighted, then the next day is Eid. In the same way, the month of Ramadan, when it commences, we know about many other days and nights, the 10th of Muharram. So this night also, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of His wisdom, He took away that fixation. There's great wisdom in that, because if we had known that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th or 29th, then nobody would have made any effort for the other nights. So without going into a detailed explanation of the virtues of Laylatul Qadr, because as I mentioned, that we have so much of literature now, which was not that kind that was available in the past. Now in the English language, every publication is Laylatul Qadr, Ramadan, Fazail, virtues. So we know exactly what Laylatul Qadr is, what the virtues are. So what we really do is just an overview or just some indicators. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, first of all, that why or what was the background to the revelation of these verses. So there were many things, but one of the important things was that there was a mention of some person in the Bani Israel for 1,000 months. Because in the Bani Israel, it was permissible, the people used to go away into the jungle, they don't marry, they don't do anything, and they considered that as some kind of ibadat. It was permissible in their times. Our time, that is not permissible. La ruhbaniyata fil Islam. In Islam, it is not that you go away to the jungle and sit down there and make ibadat all the time, or go away to the mountain tops, or cut off from the society altogether, or have nothing to do with wife, children, business, families. That is not Islam. Islam is that we live in the society and we obey Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That's all. Simple, easy, practical Islam. And if we obey the Islamic teachings, if we follow the Islamic teachings, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives barakat in that same dunya that we talk about. The business, it is Allah ta'ala's hukam. Earning livelihood, it is Allah ta'ala's hukam. Now, if the person obeys Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's commands in that business, Allah ta'ala himself gives barakat in that business. So it's not a question of cutting off and going away to the jungles. دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی ہم با خدا رہے, وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے. In all the occupation of the world, they remain با خدا. They asked Allah تبارک و تعالی, in other words, they found out from the Quran Sharif and the Hadith of Nabi alayhi salat wa salam that how we should conduct our business, how we should marry, how we should bring up our children. Because there's nothing that Nabi alayhi salat wa salam left out. Now if we are going to accept Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ahkam, what came in the Quran Sharif, because that was the purpose of the revelation. And if we are going to only accept it for the akhirat, that if you do ibadat, yeah, if you obey Allah ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salat wa salam, you'll get akhirat. So now the person is only applying the laws of Allah ta'ala in his namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. So he will get the benefits of that namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. But he's not going to get the benefits of the barakat that comes in the business, or the barakat that comes in the home, the blessings that come in one's marriage, the blessings that come in other things, if he applies those laws of Allah ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in those avenues. He's not going to get that barakat. So therefore we have to understand that this night that we are talking about, Laylatul Qadr, now that person in the Bani Israel, 1,000 months he was in jihad and he was fasting and he was making namaz. So the Sahaba-i-Kiram were not like us. They were really desirous of getting Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness, mercy, rahmat, barakat and pleasure. So there was a little bit of disappointment that we don't have that kind of lives. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, just his tabligh and calling towards Allah ta'ala was 950 years. As far as his life is concerned, it is mentioned 1350 years. Look at Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and all the so many Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in those days, hundreds of years of life. Very recently in our times we had people who passed away, they say after 110 years, 115 years, 150 years. People passed away in China recently, they said 150-year-old person passed away. So if in our times, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the average age is going to be 60 and 70, then our times, still somebody is living, of course very few. But the fact is that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is showing that in your time, if I can still give people life up to 150 and 60, and some may have gone further than that, but we don't know, where do we know every the person that is in the villages and other parts of the world. So what is there if I gave those Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and people of that time 500 years, 800 years, 900 years. So his tabligh alone was 950 years. So these Sahaba ikram, they felt a little bit disappointed. So immediately Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam down with this beautiful surah. They tell the servants of mine, you must not be disappointed. If they cannot have that kind of long life, no problem. If they get just this one night of ibadat in their lives, of course without namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, it doesn't go. It means that with their fasting, with their salat, with their zakat, with their hajj, and fulfillment of other ibadat, if they get some ibadat in this one night, Laylatul Qadr, then it is better than, Allah Ta'ala doesn't say it is equal to, it says better than 1,000 months of ibadah. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. Verily we reveal the Quran Sharif in the night of Qadr, in the night of majesty, in the night of power, in the night of glory. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed it from the Lawh-e Mahfuz, the tablet in which it was preserved. From there Allah Ta'ala revealed it to the first heavens. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed it, he says, in the night of Qadr. I mentioned on some other occasion also Laylatul Qadr. One father said that my children, they don't make Qadr of me anymore. So I said, people don't make Qadr of Laylatul Qadr, where are they going to make Qadr of you now? So Allah Ta'ala gave us this night better than 1,000 months. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Asking us, do you understand, do you know the significance of this Laylatul Qadr? The ibadat of that is better than 1,000 months. And what happens on that Laylatul Qadr? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Laylatul Qadr خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ. He's just giving the few points. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he comes down with the angels in this night of Qadr. Ruh Dev refers to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam according to most Mufassireen. Then further than that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا in it, بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ with the permission of their Lord, مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ on every errand. Then again Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala goes further and says, مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. Peace reigns until the break of dawn. That's the kind of night it is. Then look at all the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The forgiveness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Mubarak night. Rahmat and mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the night of Qadr. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is inviting himself, his makhluk and his creation. Is there anybody seeking forgiveness? I will forgive him. Is there anybody wanting sustenance? I will give him sustenance. Is there anybody seeking this or that, that I may bless him with it? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's beloved Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the Laylatul Qadr, whoever, the mafhum of that hadith sharif is that whosoever is deprived, first of all, of course, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave virtues of the Laylatul Qadr and it said, whoever is deprived of Laylatul Qadr, then he is deprived of all good. And only that person is deprived of all good who is the most unfortunate person. Now we all say that person is very fortunate, that person is some misfortune struck him. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the person doesn't get Laylatul Qadr, that's a misfortune. The person who fasts in Ramadan, imanam wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambi. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives his sins, his past sins. Now here we're referring to the minor sins that the person commits. The person who stands in Ramadan, for Tarawih he stands, for Tahajjud he stands, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives his past sins. And the person who stands in the night of Qadr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives his past sins. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, to make it easy for the ummah, that now that we do not know exactly which night, so must we search the whole year, Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he stated that the person who stays awake every night of the year, then he'll get Laylatul Qadr. When Hazrat Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was informed of that, he said, the purpose of saying that is that you may not just relax and rest after one night of ibadat, but that you should engage yourself. And the person who will engage the whole year, obviously, is going to get Laylatul Qadr. But thereafter, he said, it is in the 27th night. He said, it is on the 27th night. There are many sahabas, tabi'in, taba tabi'in, awliya, mashayikh. They said it is on the 27th night. And there are many who said it was on the 21st, and some said 23rd, and some said 25th, some said 29th. And some even give other days, other nights. So what we learn from that is that there is no fixed night, but Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given the people the experience of Laylatul Qadr on different nights. Somebody got it 21st, somebody got it 29th some year, somebody got it 27th some year. So in whichever year, whoever got that experience, and what is that experience? That Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, when he comes down with those angels, so they spread throughout the earth. Whether that person is in his house, whether he's in his factory, whether he's in his car, whether he's in the ship, whether he's on the plane, I'm just explaining. Wherever he may be, whether he's on the earth or whether he's in the air, wherever he may be. But if he's engaged in some ibadat, then making zikr, tilawat, he can be making zikr while he's driving also. The person could be making dua at that time. The person is in the aeroplane, is sitting now, is engaged in some kind of ibadat, he's not in a masjid. So wherever he may be, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's angels, they shake hands with the person. Now we say we don't see these angels, then how many things we don't see, but we believe in. How many things we don't see, but we believe in. At this very moment in time, are we seeing everything that's in the atmosphere here? If there are 1,000 people now, telephoning 1,000 people now sitting in the masjid, so there will be lines coming through, and each one will pick up his cell phone. Look at Allah Ta'ala's technology. that this person's line is not crossing onto that one is not crossing onto that one, yet they're sitting next to each other. And it's all in the same air, in the same space. But we're not seeing it. We can't see anything. If somebody puts on a radio now, we'll hear some broadcast there. But nobody will see anything happening. I gave example once of the fax machine. Now it is something that everybody just accepts because technology has advanced so much. But one day, for the first time that this fax machine came in use, it was baffling because we see that we put our paper in here. The paper didn't leave the machine. And next thing, 1,000 miles away or 10,000 miles away, the person says that I received your fax. But the paper is still here. Nothing went from here. We didn't see it flying in the air. Allah Ta'ala's Qudrat and power. So where are we going to see the angels? But we believe in the eyes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He saw the angels and he informed us of angels. What can I do now again? That incident comes to mind. Some years back, we were on the ship. Those days there was Karanja Kampala, traveling to India, 22 days, rocking on the seas. So there was one person. So he said that I was not even a Maulana at that time. Still I am not, I'm just a student, but that time we were still traveling. So he said that, what is this all about angels recording deeds? That time we didn't have the computer chips. We didn't have such kind of recording equipment. We didn't have all the calculators like today. So in any case, in the 60s this was. So he said this whole business of angels recording all the deeds of a person, and we also hear that they are on the shoulders of the person. One recording good deeds, one recording bad deeds. So if they're recording every deed that this person is engaging in, so then by now this person's shoulders should have been so big that he couldn't have found any coat to fit his size. So after a little while I asked him, I said, where are you from? And what studies you did? He said, I completed my matric and doing medicine in India. MashaAllah. So you must have done a lot of books in before you completed your matric, and you must memorize and remember before you can write examination. Those days were no computers. He said, yes. And I said, after that, now you're doing medicine. So there again, so much of books you have to read, so much of things you have to memorize. He said, yes. As if I take you to your hometown, ask you where's the post office, where's the school, where's the college, where's this street, where's that street, where's this shop, where's that shop, you'd know everything. He said, yeah, Allah, he knows everything. Like that, I asked him a number of questions. Then I asked him, where's all that stored? He said, in the memory. I said, by now your head should be so big that there should be no hat to fit your size. But now we have the computer chip, billions of pieces of information. So when we talk about these angels, we must believe in what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said. So he informed us that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes down and this is what happens. They spread out. Those homes in which there are dogs kept for as pets, if it is there for security purposes, it's permissible. But those who keep them as pets, so the angels don't enter those homes. Or if the person is there and he has committed adultery, zina, and ghusl or bath has become compulsory upon him, they don't enter those homes. The pictures of animate objects are framed, they don't enter those homes. The angels of Rahmat. But before we talk about that, ND29126, follow. Please remove your car immediately or obstructing somebody. 29126. I mentioned now there's a new crowd here and we have so many young people. And one person said, if that's the case, he said, if that's the case, one Maulana was mentioning that in the train while they were traveling. So he said, if that's the case, then I'll keep one dog with me all the time. So then the angel of death won't be able to come and take my life. So the Maulana also gave him a nice reply. He said, well, some angel will take the life of that dog. So that same one will take your life too. Because your friend then. So on the night of Qadr, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sends the angels down, and that I was talking about is the experience. That the experience is this, that the moment those angels shake the hands of the person that is engaged in some ibadah, zikr, tilawat, it is the experience, and nobody can deny that it's the experience of millions of people over the ages. True Muslims and even sinful ones like us, they have been experiences. Now that's that experience that I'm talking about, that somebody may have had it on the 21st, 23rd, whatever it was. That the heart melts while the person was engaged in his dua, or in his zikr, or in his tilawat, and suddenly something overcomes him. And he cannot explain it. He cannot put an explanation to it. But the heart melts, the tears roll. There's a kind of connection and bonding with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the enjoyment and the sweetness and the pleasure is such that, as again something I've repeated so many times, as Jalaluddin Rumi rahmatullah alayhi says, that when the fragrance of the muhabbat and the love of Allah ta'ala comes into my heart, then at that time the vocabulary of the languages of the world fail to put a description onto that. Because an experience, how are you going to express? How are you going to explain? Everybody will say, I had an experience. So that is what happened. Now look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan. And they seek forgiveness for the sins of the person. Allah ta'ala has got a whole system because he wants his bandas to come back. Allah ta'ala does not love punishment. He does not want to send people to hellfire. If that was the case, he would not have made all this arrangement for us to make tawbah, istighfar, given us opportunities upon opportunities. As soon as the person committed a sin, he should have had some kind of a system that the angels give one slap. As I mentioned, that those people who say we cannot get up for Fajr Salat, very difficult to get up, our sleep overpowers us. So now if Allah Ta'ala's system was such, that if the person is not getting up, and the sun is about to rise, so Allah Ta'ala's system was that this negligent person who slept late because he was watching TV, movie, now he can't get up for Fajr. So his bed catches on fire. Every person who don't get up, his bed catches on fire. Will anybody remain sleepy? Or you have one angel who gives an uppercut on the lower jaw. Will anybody remain sleepy? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala dearly loves forgiveness. His rahmat and mercy knows no bounds and no limits. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is so merciful, so forgiving, so forgiving, so forgiving. So he made this arrangement, Laylatul Qadr. Now when must we search for it? So to make it easy for us, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that iltamisu Laylatul Qadr. When must we search for Laylatul Qadr? Bil witril awakhir. In the odd nights of the last 10. In the odd nights of the last 10 of Ramadan, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said we must search. That we must search for this Laylatul Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10. Now first of all, Allah Ta'ala made it easy that inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We revealed it in the night of Qadr. Then the Quran Sharif told us, the shahr Ramadan al-lazi unzila fihi al-Qur'an. It was in the month of Ramadan that we revealed the Quran Sharif. So the Quran Sharif was revealed in the month of Ramadan. And the Quran Sharif tells us that it was revealed in the night of Qadr. And now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us that that night of Qadr, you must search for it in the odd nights, the last 10 of Ramadan. Now from the beginning of Ramadan, the person is getting used to staying awake. He is not told straight away, stay awake the whole night and make ibadat, zikr, tilawat. Now from the first 10, the person is getting used. He is fasting. Then he's making tarawih. That tarawih is taking some time. Then he's getting early up for sehri. So that sehri now again cut short his sleep. So he's getting used to it. Allah Ta'ala, look at his love for the bandas and for the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that he's making it easy. Now the person got used to at least staying awake for major part of the night. But still he was not told now that that's Laylatul Qadr and spend your whole night now. As much of it. Now slowly, slowly the person came to the last 10. And the last 10 also said first, the 20th, okay, sleep a little bit. 21st you make some ibadat, then 22nd again sleep a little bit, 23rd you make like that until it came away to the 27th. So which means that the person has got sufficient training now to remain awake for the whole night on the 27th or 29th, whichever is Laylatul Qadr, Allah Ta'ala knows. So this Laylatul Qadr being on the 27th, it is not a certainty, but there are lots of signs of it being on the 27th. Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala is considered to be Tajul Mufassirin. He was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's cousin, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed him with that great kamal of tafsir. The sahabas, each one had their own speciality. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, this was his speciality, tafsir. So in his tafsir, you get a lot of nukat also, lots of things there, which you don't find in others. And it is a sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So now he too is not saying certainly it is the 27th. But he mentioned something which is very, very interesting. And that is that he said that if you have to look at Laylatul Qadr, if you read, look at the surah, Suratul Qadr. So in Suratul Qadr, 3 times Qadr has been mentioned. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. 1. Wama adraka ma laylatul qadr. 2. Laylatul qadr khayrum min alf shahr. 3. So 3 times Laylatul Qadr has been mentioned. And if you count the number of alphabets in Laylatul Qadr, then it is 9. If you count the number of alphabets, it's 9. Lam, ya, if you count like that. So if you multiply 9 times 3, it's 27. So they say there's an indicator towards 27. Then again it says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr, wa ma adraka ma laylatul qadr, laylatul qadr khayrum min alf shahr. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام. So you can read. And then it is Hiya. So you say if you read up till Salam and you count all the alphabets, all the words, then it is 27 words. That Hiya, it comes 27, and that Hiya is referring to Laylatul Qadr. It's a pronoun. It's referring to Laylatul Qadr. Yeh zameer for the ulama hai, yeh zameer uski taraf raje ho rahi hai. So he says, if you look at that also, it seems that it is the 27 that it is Laylatul Qadr. But again, of course, they say that there was no ta'in, no fixation, just indicators in the light of the experiences of so many different people. So Laylatul Qadr, again, here is the 27. Then he says, if you look at many, many things, of Sharia, of Deen, then there is some kind of connection with 7. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala created 7 earth and the 7 heavens. خَلَقَ سَبْحَ سَمَاوَاتٍ فِبَاقًا. So 7 heavens and 7 earths. So if you look at that, there's again 7. The connection with 27, so it's a 7. Then if you have to look at the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, it is 7 rounds. If you look Safa and Marwa, it is 7. In the same way, there's so many other things that you look at, there is a connection with the 7. It is some kind of barakat. So therefore, he says again, there's an indicator that it is 27. But at the end of it all, again, they say that there is no fixation, that it is the 27. So there are great virtues of Laylatul Qadr. As we heard in Barat night, and if those ayat are taken to be meaning the revelation of the Quran Sharif was in Laylatul Qadr, so there we know that those people who are harboring jealousy, malice against others, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not forgive on this Mubarak night. Allah Ta'ala does not forgive. If two brothers are not in talking terms, and if they have to die, if one of them has to die, 3 days they haven't spoken, if they are not in talking terms and they haven't spoken, Because sometimes some brothers you don't speak for the whole year to, because they may be in another part of the world. So it doesn't refer to them. What it means that those who have had some argument, and two brother Muslims, they have had some argument, they have had some quarrel, dispute, and now they don't talk. They don't want to talk. So if within 3 days, if they don't talk, and one of them has to die, then the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the person goes straight to Jahannam. On Mondays and Thursdays, Nissan Tida 273128, urgent, please remove your vehicle. Nissan Tida 273128, please, this is urgent, and remove your vehicle. On Mondays and Thursdays, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives the Amal Nama presented, but if that person is not in talking terms, then they are left until they reconcile. So therefore we must have that large heart. We have discussed this many times, all the different categories of people who are not forgiven in this Mubarak night. Parents, the people who are disobedient to their parents. So if people are not in talking terms, then at least ask for maaf. If the other person doesn't make maaf or doesn't respond, many people they say that we want to go for Hajj, we want to go for Umrah, but when we phone the person, he says, don't talk to me, don't phone me. And some say clearly, don't even attend my janazah salat. So that I have mentioned many times, that you must attend. Because definitely he's not going to pick up his head and check if you are there. Will he pick up his head and check if you are there? What kind of hearts we are carrying? What kind of baggage we have got? Full of anger, hatred, dislike. Is that a Muslim life? Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's forgiveness. Knows no limits. Those people who were thirsty for his blood. Those people who left no stone unturned in persecuting, torturing, hurting, criticizing, mocking, ridiculing, anything you can take, so much so that some khabees even spat on the face of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The greatest after Allah. Na masjid ke unche minare, na qibla, na kaaba, na makkah madina. Yar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na. He goes in sajda, they take intestine of animal and put on the park, pure body of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That body, the perspiration of which had such fragrance that the most expensive perfume of Madina Sharif or anywhere could not compare with just one drop of the perspiration. On that kind of body they bring filth and they put. But look at his forgiveness. Look at his forgiveness in Taif. Allah Ta'ala says, if you want, the angels have come, they're telling him, Allah Ta'ala sent us that if you want, we'll crush them. Said, leave them. If they don't accept, might be in the progeny, somebody will accept Islam. His desire was that they must accept Islam and they must get the best of this world and the best of the Akhirah. That's all. In Uhud, he is stoned, he is bleeding. He said, Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lam. Oh Allah, give hidayah to my people, they don't understand. They don't know who I am. Then, we will say that at that time still they were in weakness. But now he is entering Makkah Sharif with 10,000. And not night time in the dark, daylight. And he is entering victorious. And then he asks those people, what do you think I'm going to do to you now? All those very people who had chased them out of Makkah Sharif and taken them out of their homes and tortured and done so much of things. He said, what do you think I will do? He said, you are Kareem ibn al-Kareem. They sing now, you are Kareem ibn al-Kareem. And one of the tarif and definition of Kareem is a person who gives to one who doesn't even deserve. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't only forgive them, but so many of them, he said that whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is forgiven. The person who enters the house of so-and-so is forgiven. The person who comes away into the Haram Sharif is forgiven. The person who enters the Kaaba Sharif is forgiven. Just forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, now we all know, the slander that was carried out against her. Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala even forgives. It is prepared to make janazah salat of the person who was the most involved in that scandal. Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Misbah, who was a cousin, he used to help him, assist him. And because he was also party, so he said, now I'm not going to give him anything. After the ayat of the Quran Sharif were revealed, I'm not going into the details. Then when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala questioned, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, don't you desire that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgive you? So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, yes, definitely, I want forgiveness from Allah ta'ala. And he doubled up whatever assistance and help he was giving to the very person who was involved in the scandal. If somebody has to say one word against our daughter, we won't tolerate it. And here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is forgiving. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is forgiving. Islam is forgiveness. There can be disputes, there can be arguments, there can be a little bit of problems. That is the world that we are living in. Because sometimes one person is honest and truthful, and the other person is not truthful and honest. So there will be a problem. Sometimes there will be hypocrisy in that muhabbat, so there will be problem. And sometimes other issues will arise. Sometimes it can be inheritance issues. Sometimes it is partnership in the business issue. This is what I was discussing last Sunday here. That we are dealing with so many cases of partnership disputes. It seems to be one ship that doesn't sail well these days, this partnership. And yet there was so much of barakat in partnership. In Islam, if you have to look at the major, major businesses that were run in those days, it was on partnership. Because there was honesty on both sides. There was honesty on both sides, truthfulness on both sides. And everyone desired that my brother must get more. That is what they desire. So these disputes are coming up. Now these are the nights that we have to make tawbah from such kind of sins. And if we haven't got our things right, then we should put it right. If sons are working in the business, then make it clear whether he's employed and he's going to be given salary, or that child is going to be given some kind of share and partnership. If it's a wife, whether she's got share or partnership. Whatever it is, make it absolutely clear so that when the person dies, then there are no disputes. Write down, reduce to writing whatever major transactions have been undertaken. So those people who have some kind of disputes, there's no problem that dispute, if it is over some money or anything else, then it must be resolved. But as far as communication is concerned, relationship is concerned, then we should not break that. If we want barakat in our rizq, we want barakat in our life, then we have to make sure that these relationships are maintained. And especially with the parents, don't make football of parents. Whatever their weakness, whatever their shortcoming, and parents today, we know what kind of things they do, which makes the children really, really frustrated and angry. But what else can we do? They are parents. So therefore, if they are doing anything that is wrong, if we can politely tell them, then we should do so. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his father was an idol worshipper and used to make idols. But look at what Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam does. How beautifully he addresses his father. Ya Abati, Ya Abati, Ya Abati. If I have to go into a discussion of that, it will take long time. So Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is as if telling his father, my dear father, my dear father, my dear father. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Harun, they are being sent to Fir'aun, the worst of that time. And these two are Nabis of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is telling them, وَقُولَ لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا. Speak to them politely, speak to them gently, speak to them nicely. Speak to them softly. Two Nabis of Allah Ta'ala are sent and they told speak nicely. Like we are going to speak to the parents in a harsh way, or we're going to speak to the wives in a harsh way, or to the children in a harsh way, or to our friends in a harsh way. So will they remain? They all will disperse. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, one of his conspicuous qualities was, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran Sharif, that if it had not been for this rahmat and mercy, lan fazzu min hawlik. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَظًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَانْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you had been harsh and hard-hearted, then these people would have dispersed. The Sahaba Ikram would have remained around you. So with those type of parents, we have to speak politely, bring it to their attention. This is not right, this is wrong. Because some of the things that they are doing, definitely we know is totally haram, forbidden. And they are virtually making the children also do the same. So then they will draw the line and they say, my obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala comes first. But then separate nicely if you cannot live together and there is a problem. But arguments, fights and quarrels, they destroy the muhabbat, they destroy the fabric of the society's unity. It destroys it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it shaves off, and he says, I don't say it shaves off your head, it shaves off your deen. This malice and this, it shaves off your deen. Your courage will depart. Your strength will go. Look at the ayat of the Quran Sharif. There are so many things, there are so many things that we can discuss as far as rights of parents are concerned, rights of family members are concerned. Every Friday, at the end of the Jummah khutbah, we hear, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْقَدْرِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَإِيْتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى. So therefore, if there is any kind of dispute or anything in Mubarak night, what we should do is ask for forgiveness. We must humble ourselves. When we humble ourselves, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives elevation, respect. In our humbling ourselves, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives respect. One person, one great alim, he said something. And the person did not like it, was offended and went away. Yet what he had said was not wrong. Now he went in search of him. Those days in the villages to travel, and somehow he got hold of him. And he said, please forgive me. So the person said, oh yeah, Maulana, why are you asking me for forgiveness? You didn't do anything really wrong. It was my fault that I walked away and all that. He said, no, please forgive me. I don't wish to be questioned on the day of judgment. So the same night he sees in the dream Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he sees the beautiful eyes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam very, very close. And then he questions Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, have I really seen you very, very closely? Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam responds, yes, indeed you have seen me very closely. So he says that was the barakat of that he searched for that person and asked him for forgiveness. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes so pleased when the banda forgives the banda. So therefore I ask you also, forgiveness if I had said anything or any of my actions caused anybody any offense, then I seek forgiveness from you. Because what are we going to leave this world with? Malice in the heart. And as far as I am concerned, if anybody has done anything which caused me any kind of hurt or injury or pain, then in the masjid, in the house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I'm making you witnesses, I've forgiven them. So much so that if anybody is owing me less than 100 rand, I forgive him too. Otherwise, just now somebody will say, all forgiven. It may be light-hearted, but honestly, that is the truth. In forgiveness, there's a kind of happiness. The person gets kind of satisfaction. Allah Ta'ala's pleasure he gets. So let us not lose the golden opportunity. If we have any kind of dispute with anybody, then when we go from here, just pick up the telephone. Say, please make me maaf. We heard some Maulana's bayan, and he said these things, so therefore I seek forgiveness, make me maaf, and let Allah Ta'ala be pleased. Now if that person makes maaf, alhamdulillah. If he doesn't make maaf, then according to one riwayat, the person will be deprived of Jam-e Kawthar from the hands of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on that day when every person will be thirsty. He'll be seeking Jam-e Kawthar. Now what does a person want? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if a person is on right, he's not wrong, he's right, but he forgoes his right. He's right also and he's foregoing his right. Just so for the sake of peace, I'm just explaining, just for the sake of peace, that he doesn't want to enter into quarrel, argument and dispute, he says, alright, you are right, finish. So then in the middle of Jannat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be in palace. But our yaqeen is not in that. We want everything cash. So the cash is immediate happiness and barakat in the risk and sustenance, barakat in the life and so much of other ni'mat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. When He is pleased, He say, hey, aap khush is jahan mein, wo shab o roz hai gulsitan mein, dekh kar mere ashke nadamat, abre rahmat ki barish hai jahan mein. So the Quran Sharif was revealed in the night of Qadr. Now this Quran Sharif also is, many, many times I've read the beautiful lament of the Quran, Mahir al-Qadi. Taqon mein sajaya jata hoon, aankhon se lagaya jata hoon, taweez-e banaya jata hoon, do do ke pilaya jata hoon. Taqon mein sajaya jata hoon. Shelves. Quran Sharif is now for the shelves, decoration of shelves. When a girl is getting married, we say, buy the most expensive box and the best Quran Sharif and give it. After that, how much is she reading? How much is the groom reading? Quran Sharif, we take it out in the month of Ramadan. And some huffaz also don't even read the whole month or whole year. Because this, some huffaz say, I know my Quran Sharif so well that I don't have to make dhawr. He knows it so well that he doesn't have to make dhawr anymore. That means that is why it was learned, so that he performed Taraweeh only. Was that why Quran Sharif was revealed? Read the Quran Sharif, understand the Quran Sharif, then we'll make amal on the Quran Sharif. The taqon mein sajaya jata hoon, aankhon se lagaya jata hoon. We'll pick up the Quran Sharif, put on our eyes. Taweez banaya jata hoon. Now what is Quran Sharif for? Taweez. Now it's not prohibited. These things are necessary. You must keep the Quran Sharif on a high shelf. You must put a nice cover on it. You must make adab and ihtiram. To look at the Quran Sharif is sawab. To read it is sawab. To pick it up is sawab. The Quran Sharif, there are so many different things that give you sawab. But the purpose was so that you may read, understand and make amal. So he said, taqon mein sajaya jata hoon, taweez-e banaya jata hoon, do-do ke pilaya jata hoon. Taweez-e banaya jata hoon, aankhon se lagaya jata hoon, juzdan hareer o resham ke, aur phool sitare chandi ke, phir itr ki barish hoti hai, khushboo mein basaya jata hoon. Juzdan hareer o resham ke, silk juzdan, phir itr ki barish hoti hai, then we take a whole bottle of itr and pour it, khushboo mein basaya jata hoon. That's all that is. Jis tarah ke tota mena ko kuch bol sikhaye jate hain, is tarah sikhaya jata hoon, is tarah padhaya jata hoon. Just as we teach the parrots different kinds of words, parrots, what they say, they listen carefully. And then they repeat whatever the person says. So it's just like that the Quran Sharif is taught. There's no doubt sawab in its recitation, but he says the teaching of the Quran Sharif is only limited now to the recitation of the words of the Quran Sharif. So it is as if how we teach a parrot some ayats of the Quran Sharif and the parrot will repeat it. One of my family members, home, they got one parrot. So now in the morning, the mother, father must be getting the children up to go for his classes. So he takes the son's name and says, get up my boy, get up my boy. So, you know, he's the parrot, repeats the same thing. So if we start swearing and all, then the parrot learns it, then when we sell that parrot, he's going to do the same swearing. Thereafter what he says, you must take ibrat and lesson.
جب قول و قسم لینے کے لیے تکرار کی نوبت آتی ہے, جب قول و قسم لینے کے لیے تکرار کی نوبت آتی ہے, تب میری ضرورت پڑتی ہے, ہاتھوں پہ اٹھایا جاتا ہوں.
At the time of قسم, bring Quran Sharif, bring Quran Sharif. The Quran Sharif is now just قسم. Any kind of dispute, whether the person got wuzu, haven't got wuzu, bring Quran Sharif, and then we take قسم on the Quran Sharif. جب قول و قسم لینے کے لیے تکرار کی نوبت آتی ہے تب میری ضرورت پڑتی ہے ہاتھوں پہ اٹھایا جاتا ہوں. And then finally, اے
مجھ سے عقیدت کے دعوے قانون پہ راضی غیروں کے, اے مجھ سے عقیدت کے دعوے قانون پہ راضی غیروں کے, یوں بھی مجھے رسوا کرتے ہیں ایسے بھی ستایا جاتا ہوں, یوں بھی مجھے رسوا کرتے ہیں ایسے بھی ستایا جاتا ہوں.
So we say our aqidat is on the Quran Sharif, but we are razi and pleased with the laws and legislation and everything else of others. Our cultural lifestyle is that of others. Our weddings, our walimas, our businesses, everything, we have to look at it. They say we follow the traditional practices of others. There is no identification there of Islam. Our identity is totally lost. But our aqidat is that we got Quran Sharif. We will fight for the Quran Sharif. But the Quran Sharif is no more in our lives. Quran Sharif is not in our homes. Quran Sharif is not in our businesses. Quran Sharif is not in the parliaments of the Muslim countries. Quran Sharif is not in the cabinets of the Muslim countries. And Quran Sharif is not in the kingdoms of the Muslim countries. We have sections for certain percentage of the Quran Sharif. But when you look at the large percentage of the teachings of the Quran Sharif, it is totally absent. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq of amal. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must make this night, if our yaqeen is that it is 27th night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he wants to make it Laylatul Qadr, then he will make it if we apply ourselves. And that is the yaqeen with which so many have come. Because throughout the world it's not on the same night, it's on different nights. Throughout the world Laylatul Qadr is not on the same night. For somebody it could be on the 21st, 23rd, 27th, different nights. Because there is the rotation of the earth, there are time changes, different time zones. So therefore we should not think that Laylatul Qadr is the same around the globe on the same night. The 27th night tonight here, but some other places they finish 27th. So let us make dua, inshallah, the next session, then we will do some dhikrullah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah. Once again we have raised our begging bowls before you. My beloved Allah, we will go on raising these begging bowls. You have attached them to our bodies so that we may raise them before you any part of the day or night. My beloved Allah, there is no such thing as no signal and no connection. Whenever we raise our begging bowls, my beloved Allah, you are ready to listen. You are watching us this very moment. You are looking at us this very moment. You are aware of the thoughts that are crossing our minds this very moment. My beloved Allah, open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Open the floodgates of your maghfirat for us. Cause us to be drenched in the rains of rahmat that pour in this Mubarak night. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. But my beloved Allah, we are once again turning towards you. We are seeking forgiveness for all the sins that we have committed. Sins of our eyes, of our ears, our tongues, our heart and mind. Forgive them. Forgive the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Rabbi Kareem, bless us with all the barakats of Laylatul Qadr. My beloved Allah, your treasures are unlimited. Your forgiveness is unlimited. You dearly love forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards you. Whatever we may be, my beloved Allah, no matter how far we may have gone, but you have given us this opportunity to raise our begging bowls again and beg of you. Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Ay Rabbe Kareem, hame maaf farma. Hame sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat wali zindagi de, zillat aur ruswai se hamari hifazat. My beloved Allah, give us good health, long life, prosperity, happiness, contentment, barakat in our risk and sustenance, barakat in our businesses, barakat in our homes, barakat in our life, barakat in our time. My beloved Allah, our life is in your control, our health in your control, our sight, our hearing, our speech in your control. My beloved Allah, our liver, our heart, our lungs in your control. You blessed us with all these ni'mats and all these bounties. Day and night we use your given bounties for your disobedience. Hum namak haram hai mere Allah. Tera hi diya hua kha karke teri hi nafarmani karte hai. We eat the food provided by you. We drink the water sent down from the heavens. Ey Rabbe Kareem, you nourished us in our mother's stomachs. You converted the blood of the mother to milk for our nourishment when we were born. Ey Rabbe Kareem, we were born totally helpless. We were born totally ignorant. None of us had any kind of qualification or degrees or any wealth or any property that we were aware of. Ey Rabbe Kareem, we could not even take care of our own hygiene. We were so helpless and so useless. You gave us strength. Ya Allah, you allowed us to grow. You created the opportunities for us to acquire knowledge, to get education. You blessed us, my beloved Allah, with so much of your bounties and ni'mats. How can we then reject your bounties and ni'mats? Ya Allah, we are indeed very, very ungrateful servants of yours. But we are seeking from you because of our sins. Do not snatch away those bounties and ni'mats. Make us, my beloved Allah, those who are your obedient servants and obedient to your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Distance us from nafs and shaitan. Nafs or shaitan, dono ne milkar hai kiya hai mujhko taba. Ay mere maula, meri madad kar. Chahata hoon main teri pana. Give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all. The rights of our parents, our children, our wives, our family members, our friends, our neighbors. The rights of Muslims, the rights of non-Muslims, the rights of the society, the rights of animals. Ey Rabbe Kareem, bless us with the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all. Ey Rabbe Kareem, my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, take us on the road that leads to you. Take us on the road that leads to Jannah. Take us on the road that leads to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with your muhabbat. Give us such a bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you. Make us the fish that swims deep down in your ocean of marifat, my beloved Allah. Ey Rabbe Kareem, accept the fast that we have kept. Accept our tilawat, our zikr, our ibadat, our charities. Ya Allah, give us the love of the poor and the needy and the destitute. Give us the tawfiq to assist and help those who are in need. Ey Rabbe Kareem, bless us with barakat in every ni'mat and bounty. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, there's so much of friction, disunity, disharmony. The whole ummah, my beloved Allah, is torn to pieces. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left them in one body and one soul. We have fragmented the ummah into so many pieces. How much of pain it must be causing to the sensitive heart of my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, ummat of Nabi Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ey Rabbi Kareem, O my beloved Allah, the month of Ramadan is almost coming to an end. We haven't been able to do justice to the fasting, to the zikr, to the tilawat, to the ibadah. Overlook our shortcomings, our weaknesses, our faults. Don't deprive us, my beloved Allah, of your mercy and of your kindness. Don't turn away your glance of mercy from us. If you have to turn away your glance of mercy, then we'll face nothing but destruction. Ey Rabbi Kareem, we acknowledge that indeed we are the most sinful ones on the surface of the earth. But we have come to your door begging, my beloved Allah. And we have got great hope in your mercy and your forgiveness. Garche pur khata hai par kaha jaye tera banda. Tere dar par tera banda wa ummeed-e karam aaya. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut. Don't let the angel of death find us in any kind of haram action. My beloved Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of mankind around the globe. Whether it is drought, famine, floods, Ey Rabbi Kareem, remove the difficulties, problems and suffering. My beloved Allah, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Afghanistan, Kashmir, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia, Europe, America, Asia, Africa, Australia, Rabbi Kareem, which part of the world it is not suffering. Ummate marhuma ke upar raham farma. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal-Muslimin. Allahumma aizz al-Islam wal-Muslimin. اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين ربنا لا تؤاخذنا ان نسينا او اخطانا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا اسرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقه لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, how much of sacrifice the stone in Taif, stone in Uhud, steep Mubarak was shattered, goes into such the intestines of animals are placed on his head. Rabbi Kareem, he stands whole night in prayer, his feet swell. His concern was the ummat, ummat, ummati, ummatis. In Hajjatul Wida, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with his 124,000 companions, each and every one of them with a purified heart. How much he begged, Ya Allah, for the ummah. All the du'as that he made for us, all the good that he asked for us, Ya Allah, bless us with that goodness, bless the ummah with that goodness, and from all the corruption, mischief, fitnah that he asked for protection, protect us and the ummah of Nabi Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us not be the cause of his embarrassment on the day of judgment because of our sins. Allah, Allah. Rabbana taqabbal min. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.